Well, you get to see my face a little bit longer today, huh? Well, some of you are happy. It's all right. I woke up this morning. Sorry, Cody. Thank you guys, by the way, worship team. Yeah, it was awesome. I woke up this morning, and I had a lot of energy. And, man, I got 8 hours of sleep, which is unheard of, by the way. I was all excited, and I was like, man, you got a lot of energy. I'm like, I guess I do. She goes, you feel pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I do. And until I decided to lift up my oldest son and remembered that I was getting older and my knees don't do that anymore. So on went the knee brace. So, but now I do. Actually, I know now why God gave me all the energy I have this morning. Because right before I leave, I get a text from Dr. Dan. And he says, you may be teaching this morning. And, you know, Dan and I, we go back and forth and joke. And I'm like, you know, ha-ha, funny. Because funny enough, we were actually joking about it last week. You know, being that Judges is such a difficult thing to just do on the fly. And so we were laughing about it, and lo and behold, here I am. So before we get started, we are going to be praying for Dan because he did have to leave because he was sick. So, and it was just all of a sudden, so I don't know what the Lord's doing, but he has a plan this morning, all right? And he's gonna use his word. I'm just gonna be reading from it. So let's pray this morning, and then we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, Lord, that we get the opportunity to go through it this morning, Lord, and learn some truths, some things that we need to always keep close to our hearts, Lord. And for those who haven't heard these words this morning, who haven't heard them before, Lord, I just pray that you open up hearts to the things of your word, to your gospel. Lord, we lift up Pastor Dan this morning. Lord, as he's not feeling well and not sure why. Lord, the suddenness of this was, wouldn't say alarming, but it was interesting, Lord. And Lord, just pray that you give him comfort and the rest that he needs. Lord, just heal his body this morning. Lord, just set me aside this morning. Holy Spirit, just do a mighty work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are not in Judges, okay? Because who in their right mind would first choose Judges? Thank you, Joshua, for doing that. But doing Judges on the fly, like I said, you know, not a cool thing. The section that we would be in today is talking about Delilah. And Dan's going to probably teach on that next week, but I'll give you the gist of it, right? Samson has long hair. Delilah wants his strength. Samson loses his hair. The end. Okay. There, we taught Judges. We can go home now. So this morning, as I'm driving here, I kept going in my mind, you know, listening through it. And I'm like, Judges 16 is not it. That's not what the Lord has this morning. And I have this little Bible here. And it's a Christian Standard Bible. It's not a version mostly people use and don't use usually for studying, but it's an easy to understand. And when I was in school discipleship, we were given these as a tool for evangelism. Is when we were talking about evangelism, and this is something that always stuck with me, and I keep it in my truck for those times when, you know, it's you never know who you're going to meet. And it's an easy thing because I can open it up. I have a bookmark right here, right? It has it highlighted. You can't really see it. So, I mean, this is a gospel presentation for young people who can see. So, yeah. Sorry. No, but you have somebody read it, right? And they read it and you say, what does that mean to you? What do you think that means? So it's a little bit easier to understand, but thinking about the gospel is you don't ever graduate from the gospel, right? When you are saved, the day that you accepted Christ is a start of something new. And you have this new life, you are a new creation, and your life continues on, but why were you saved? And oftentimes we can beat ourselves up, right? We can, I sinned again today. I messed up real bad. Now you start questioning your salvation. You start, well, if I read my Bible more, I'll do better, right? I won't sin again. But that's not how it works. And we have to remember why we were saved, and most importantly of all, that the grace of God is sufficient, that covers all sin. Okay? So this morning, what we're going to go through is we're going to go through the gospel. And we're going to remember. And if you've never heard for the first time, stick around. If you need a Bible, because we're going to do some page flipping, all right? Who remembers doing that when they were a kid in church, right? Bible drills or what have you? Yeah, some of you aren't traumatized. That's good. you get this nervous feeling. I remember when it was Bible drill Sunday, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so troubled. I couldn't pay attention for the life of me. You know, I couldn't see very well as a kid. I mean, you see, I got glasses. At one point, I didn't have glasses, so I was a disruption all the time because I just couldn't see. So I'm like, well, I have to look through this Bible that I can't literally couldn't see. So I despise that, but I love it now. So if you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the back. Under the Be, Make, Send Disciples, stand up. I don't care. If you don't have one, get up. You're not a disruption. Grab a Bible or raise your hand if you really don't want to be getting up, and the ushers will get them to you. We have extras underneath ushers, underneath the first drawer door of that coffee cart. They're wrapped up, so you get the pleasure of having a new crispy Bible. So turn with me to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and I'm turning with you because I did not have the time to mark all these in my Bible. So, yeehaw. Romans 3, verse 23. So, one thing I want you guys to understand that I have this little Bible, and we talk about evangelism, and if any of you guys know Scott Coe, he has the little red hearts. He has his own way of presenting the gospel to people. I have my way. Sometimes I use this, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't even have it with me, you know, because you forget to stick it in your pocket. And I got to rely on the Holy Spirit. I mean, can't go wrong there. But you don't need special training. Okay. You don't need anything but the same gospel that was presented to you that led you to salvation. That's all you need. When I was in a training for youth pastors, one of the guys that was speaking, his family, all from Denver, real hardcore people. They were actually friends with the what do you call that? Mob family that used to be up in Denver. Some of you guys, I can't remember the name of it. Some of you guys probably know who that is. So they were kind of like buddy-buddy with them a little bit. But this guy gets saved, and he presents the gospel to his uncle. And this guy is like hardcore, muscle-bound guy. He shares it with him one time. He's just like, because he had the desire, right? He just said, I want him to be saved. I don't want to see him die and not know where his eternity is. And he shared it with him. And the one moment, he's like, absolutely. I mean, he didn't say that. He had some other choice words because, of course, you know, when you're saved doesn't mean you're perfect, right? God does the washing later. He does the cleansing. He does the changing of your heart. But at that moment, he said yes. He wanted to be saved. And the next day, he's out with his buddies sharing the gospel. Did he have schooling, right? Did he go through all these different classes? Did he go through school of discipleship? No, he did not. He was saved. He had the gospel that was given to him to present to others. And that's all you need. So we're going to share that this morning. I'm going to share that with you. So you have that. You have that to share with somebody else. And all you need really and truly is your story. Your story of how you were saved. For me, I was, I'll share with you mine real quick. First, started off, I was 7 years old. I went to this event called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. So it's kind of like The Thorn, except worse, like really bad and corny. But it had a little devil guy dancing around, and hell was really scary, you know. And so I'm 7 years old, and I was scared to death. And so I was like, yeah, I want to do that. I thought I was good to go. Went up on stage, said some words, went off stage, and thought I was good to go, right? I got my fire insurance stamped, good to go. Well, I didn't have changed heart. And going through life, I was a punk kid, lied to my parents. You know, I used to wait till my mom was on the phone on purpose so I could ask her if I could go grab the machetes, the axes, and all that stuff and go across the road to the woods and use them. And she'd wave me off. And I was like, yep, that means yes. You're good to go. Fast forward, 12, 13 years old, I get in with a lovely crowd of guys and get into smoking pot and drinking, 12 and 13. Actually, I was doing that before, but it really hit hard when I moved to Colorado. Thanks, Colorado. I'm just kidding. It was me. It wasn't Colorado. Not the actions of a saved person. And I was to the point when I was 15 years old, I had this friend of mine, and we had hatched a plan that we were going to start selling drugs. And it was that week I went to another event called Acquire the Fire, and they had a speaker. I get emotional because I know where I was headed, and I know the pain that I caused and the pain that was in my heart, but the joy that I had after when I heard this guy, his name was LG Wise. He was a Christian rapper. Yes, that's a thing, okay? And he shared his testimony of that he was a product of rape, and his mom was about to abort him, and last minute she decided not to. And here he is standing on stage presenting the gospel, and I was like, that's what I needed. That's what I was missing. 15-year-old, I was really saved, 15 years old. And so let's go through scripture and let's see what God has for us this morning. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? That's pretty depressing. All have sinned. And so let's see what sin looks like. Flip over a page back to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. There's not one of you here this morning that can tell me you're not one of those or multiple. So when scripture says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, he means all. Every single one of you here, everyone out there in the world, Paul who wrote this letter, all sinned and fallen short of what? The glory of God. God in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, created everything what? Good, right? He created everything good. Man comes along like man does. Satan's doing his thing. And we fall into sin. And we ruin everything that's good. We fall short of everything that God created that was good. He created it perfect, as only he can, because he is perfect. In Matthew, it says, I think it's chapter, I want to say chapter 5, don't hold me to it, okay? It's a simple verse. Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. That was a command that Jesus was giving to the people. Good luck, right? I look at this Romans chapter 1, and I'm like, how can I be perfect when I still do these things? Right? There's some times that I fail, that we all fail. Be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. So that's a reality that we have to keep in mind, that all have sinned, that you're no different from anybody else. So that should make us all feel happy, right? We can talk to one another freely. Whatever sin you have, just know that the other person has sin as well. It's listed just the same. Do you notice that this order, where's murder in there? Murder's like a third of the way down. We think murder's the worst sin. It's in there. What's the first one? Okay. Filled with all unrighteousness. Okay. Well, that about covers everything. But when we think of sin, we think, oh, well, there's some that's worse than the other. That's not how God sees it. He says all have sinned. So being a good person is not a part of that, is there? Being a good person doesn't say that we're a good person. It says that we all have sinned. Okay, turn to Romans 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, wages. When you get a job, you get paid, right? You get wages. Well, we had a job to follow God's law. But we didn't. So our new wages are death. What we deserve is death. Seems pretty depressing. And when you think about the wages of sin being death, eternal death, separation from God. And if you are saved this morning, I want you to think about somebody in your life right now who is not saved. And put this reality with them. Wages of sin is death. Good person doesn't save you. They can be the best person in the world, but they're missing something. What are they missing? There's a great word in the Bible, okay? It's but. I love that word. And it's usually associated with God right next to it. But God. Because yes, this is truth. This is reality that our sin separates us from God and we are destined to die. That is our fate. That is what is expected of us. That's what's going to happen is death because we are not good. But God. He gave us a gift, eternal life. Turn with me to Romans 5:8. Yes, we're going to keep flipping. It's going to be fun. And it's not far away. Romans 5, verse 8. Many of you know it. Maybe you know these verses. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were all these things in Romans chapter 1, 28 through 32. While we were those things. God didn't say, well, I will send my son when you guys start acting right. That didn't happen. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us in our current state. Not any state that we try to be in. Not in I'm a good person state. But in our sinful brokenness, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. But God. He showed us what love really is. I cannot ever think to demonstrate that kind of love. Never, never in my wildest dreams could I do that. I will not give up my son. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. I keep thinking in my mind, well, if it's against somebody who's saved and not saved, I would choose the other person. I couldn't watch my kid die. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. But that's me as a broken human, as a father, I couldn't do it. But God did it. Because he loves each and every one of you, enough. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 3. Ooh. So Jesus is here talking with Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. And Nicodemus has some questions of Jesus. He's hearing about these things, some of the things that Jesus is saying, some of the things that miracles that Jesus has performed, and he's curious. So he goes to speak with him. And Nicodemus says in verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." He recognizes who Jesus really is. And Jesus answers and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So therein we have this kingdom, right? We have something that we are trying to achieve. Why does somebody want to be good? What is the motivator behind that? Most of the time, a lot of times, it's for selfish reasons. It's because I want to look good. But what are we supposed to desire? We want to desire the kingdom. We want to desire to be in the presence of perfection like we were created to be. God's kingdom. So what does he mean by born again? What does this phrase mean? Even Nicodemus was curious. He was like, my mother would not appreciate this. Neither would yours, right? This is not a thing that we want to talk about or even consider. So what is Jesus talking about? Fast forward a little bit to 16 and 17. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Through him. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, whenever you realize that he is God and he died for each and every one of you, this is the born again. And this had not, obviously Jesus is still alive. This is the very beginning of his ministry. He has 3 years of ministry before he dies on the cross. And this hasn't happened. So trying to explain this, it's not quite clear. I think a lot of these guys that Jesus talked to, boy, when it hit hard when he was on the cross, they understood. That's what he was saying. Especially disciples. Man, they realized this is what he was talking about. Of course, if they were really super confused, 3 days later, he rose again. So, if ever you want to be even more confused, that would be it. But all the things that Jesus said, wow, made sense. Born again. I mean, he was the example of what that looks like. Where our old self, I mean, not that Jesus was sinner, but in our case, we, old self, get put to death. And then we accept Christ, and then our new self starts, our new creation. We are something different. And then this whole trying to be a good person thing, that's not where your mind is. The Holy Spirit just does that automatically. Then you start getting changed. So why did Jesus come? To save, not to condemn. Not to condemn, but to save. If Jesus didn't come to condemn, do I have the right to condemn anyone, myself? I can point out the same things that Jesus did, which is in his word, scripture. This is sin, right? The whole law, 613 laws, was sin. This is what to do and what not to do. So, I don't even have to say it. All we have to do is look back in the first 5 books of the Bible and we see definition of sin. But he came so that wasn't our burden and we could have this new life with him. Fast forward to John chapter 14, verse 6. 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, he's talking to Peter, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. This idea of born again that Nicodemus was confused about. No one comes to the Father except through him. And in this statement, this is one of Jesus' I am statements. And if you think back to Exodus, when God is talking to him and Moses through a burning bush, he says, well, Moses says, what do I tell these people, the Jews, my family? What do I tell them who I spoke to? How will they know? And he says, tell them I am sent you. And so Jesus is saying the same thing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the God of the universe, come down in human flesh to live a perfect life, to die for us, to take on sin that we cannot get rid of ourselves. No matter how good of a person you are, you cannot get rid of that. It is still there. But Jesus gives us something new, born again. And there's no other way but Jesus. And I should have remembered what this is, and I'm gonna dog on another church. Not anything that you guys know specifically, but the Universalists, Unitarian Universalists, they accept all religions except one, except Christians. Why? Because we are the ones that say that Jesus is the way, not a way. There are many paths people can take, but they do not lead to Jesus Christ. They lead to something else. They lead to self. They lead to works. You have to do this. You have to do this thing. You have to say these things. You have to be this person. You have to put aside these things and do these things in order to be good enough. And in the end, maybe God will show you grace. That's not what we read here. That's not what we read here. We read that God died for us anyways, despite our sin. That's grace. That's mercy. That's undeserved. Didn't say that you have to be perfect. You have to do good. You have to get yourself right. You got to get off drugs. You got to stop drinking. You got to stop looking at porn before I will save you. Doesn't say that. Don't pay attention to that other stuff around us. This is it, right here, God's word, the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No other way. Go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Sorry, verse 8. We'll start in verse 8. This is Paul speaking. He says, but what does it say? He's quoting scripture. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did it say straighten up first? Nope, didn't say that. It talks about faith. That faith in God. And it's simple. The gospel is so simple. Many people will add to it. But it's Jesus alone. And it's confession with your mouth. Jesus came and died for sinners, just like me. He lived the perfect life because I couldn't. And that he raised from the dead 3 days later. Conquered death. Nobody in history has ever done that. All because he loves you. All because he desires you to be with him in the kingdom. He made this way possible. Romans, throughout Romans, talks about it being a free gift. Not one that has strings attached. Not one that, well, I'll give you this gift if. There is no if. There is no but here. There's free gift. That's it. No strings attached. All he asks is that you believe. Have faith in him. It's the ABCs, right? It's ABCs of the gospel. And this is something I've used with kids. I use it with my kids and VBS. Admit, believe, confess. Admit you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Confess that with your mouth. The end. The beginning. There you go, Jim. The end of who you were before. The beginning of something greater. This is the gospel truth right here. No additions, no subtractions. This is it. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Second Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." When we accept that, when we accept Christ, and we say we want him to be the Lord of our lives, we want to be changed, we want to see him in the kingdom, we want to put off our old ways. He does that. He is faithful to do that. We are a new creation. All our old things are dead, gone. Yeah, are they going to try to creep back up? We're reading a book. Some of the men are reading a book by Warren Wiersbe that highlights this stuff, that Satan still is going to try. But this is what we got to remember, guys. The simple truth of the gospel. That's what we have to keep in mind every single day. Fast forward to chapter 6, verse 2. "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So you may ask, when? When do I get saved? Did I have to wait for a conference? Nope. Just happened that way. The guy that spoke to us, his uncle, didn't wait for anything. And he just did it. He accepted right there in his living room. And then he goes the next day to a bar with his buddies and shares the gospel with them. Because now is the day of salvation. We are guaranteed one thing in this world: death. Death is something that every single person will experience. But does it have to be eternal death? Or are we given an opportunity to have eternal life because of what Jesus did for us on the cross? Now is the day of salvation. One last verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. If you know the book of Revelation, this is John receiving this revelation, and Jesus is speaking. This is obviously Jesus has gone to be with the Father after he rose from the dead and then ascended. But Jesus is talking to the Laodiceans, the church of the Laodiceans, and he says in verse 20, he's pleading with them. He's pleading with them to turn back to him. So he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." If somebody knocks on your door and you've invited them over for dinner, that's a pretty important thing. Right? When my house is usually a disaster because I have 3 kids, 6 dogs, and what have you. It's a disaster all the time. So when I invite somebody over for dinner, it's a big deal, right? It's a big deal. And our hearts maybe feel like they're dirty. But Jesus wants to come have dinner with you anyways. It's like me saying, "Yeah, come on over. It's a disaster. It's cool. I'm good with it. Come on over." Jesus is like, I don't care. I just want to have a relationship with you. He'll fix that other stuff. He'll fix those things. He just wants that relationship. He just wants you. Because he loves you. He doesn't like the things we do, but he loves you. And that's why he came. And that's what we preach week in and week out. We may be in Judges. We may see the depravity of man going back to false idols, going back to these things, this constant cycle that you see here. And it can be depressing reading it. But if we looked at Jesus came so that we didn't keep doing this, going around, that we could be new, and this would be gone, and we could be something new. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never accepted Christ, today's the day. You don't have to be ashamed. You may be ashamed because you realize, yes, I am a sinner. But Christ died for that sin. And all you have to do is come to him. Admit, believe, confess. So I want to invite the worship team up, and we're going to have a time of prayer, and Don, do we have prayer teams? Okay. We're going to have prayer teams on up here, either side, and in the back, over by the sound booth. A little quieter back there. If you need to receive prayer, really for anything, but if you're at that point where God has brought you, "I want to have this relationship with him," and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to pray, we're going to pray it together. But if you want to go speak with somebody, these people are equipped with the one thing that anybody ever needs, and that's the gospel. To share that with you Because remember, we were all there. We're all there. We're all the same. We're all sinners. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and for the truth of the gospel, that something that we always have to remember, Lord, what we are saved from, that you cover all sin. And that is so comforting, Lord. That is so comforting. Lord, if anybody here just doesn't have hope, Lord, I know you provide that. Perfect hope, perfect peace only comes from you. So if you have not accepted Christ this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you came and died on the cross to take away my sin. Lord, I believe, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. Amen. And that's it. That's your prayer. Lord, if there's anybody here who's uncertain, Lord, who has questions, just give them the movement to come up, to talk to somebody, to receive prayer.